Wonderful. Well, God bless. And greetings to you in the wonderful name of our living Lord and of our Savior Jesus Christ on this special Uncle Harry Sunday night here at the Way International. Looks to me like we need that Word Over the World auditorium to meet the needs of our people on Sunday night. But it's wonderful to be here with you and to have you here with us on this wonderful occasion. The day that we call the day of the burning of the ballast, the chaff, all the unnecessary things in life. I think I'll do it later. Right now, I think what we'll do is give Dorothy and Rhoda a big hand. They've been with me for years. You two are sure wonderful. And I'm real grateful that we have worked together for years. Rhoda's been my secretary. How many years, Rhoda? We hate to tell it.
35 years.
How much?
35 years.
35 years she's been. Can you imagine a secretary standing any man for 35 years? Well, don't look so sincere. We'll get along all right. I'm just trying to get worked off a little steam and a little nervousness. You know how you are after 45 years of doing this. Now we pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy and rejoicing of our hearts on this wonderful Uncle Harry Sunday. Thank you for all your love and grace and mercy and your goodness to us. Thank you for your blessing upon each of our lives. Thank you for the greatness of your presence and of your power and your goodness. And may this be a wonderful night here at International, around the nations of the world, this week. And I thank you, Father, for blessing our children, our young people, and our adults, and for your word living in our day and time through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless. You may be seated. Period.
If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. If we're going to reach out far and far, then we need to be doing it right. Say goodbye to worldly things that will try to keep us uptight.
Long way, but we still have a long way to go. And the quickest way to get anywhere is to travel light, as you know. Oh, so let's get rid of all those things that are heavy and will slow us down, holding us back from being God's best and moving up to higher ground.
If we're
going
to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. Reach out for the stars, and we need to be doing it right. Say goodbye to worldly things that would try to keep us uptight.
Yes, so
if we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. If we're going to reach out for the stars, then we need to be doing it right. Say goodbye to worldly things that will try to keep us uptight.
Yes.
If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light.
Take along just what we need, the rest will be supplied. The less we carry, the easy it is on this happy glory ride. Before we pack, I take the time to make a double checklist. Hardly anything that's gonna weigh us down, we ain't gonna miss.
If we're gonna travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. If we're gonna reach out for the stars, then we need to be doing it right. Say goodbye to worldly things that would try to keep us uptight.
Yes.
If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light. If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light.
Now new horizon.
If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light.
I'm the victor.
If we're going to travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light.
If we're gonna travel fast and far, then we need to be traveling light.
With when I came to him. I was tired and so weary from a life of sin. Then he touched me, he touched me, and I'm not the same. He has changed my life through his name. I was tried, and he found me white as snow. I'm reconciled, and I'm going to tell others so. He's redeemed me with his blood, and I'm not the same. He has changed
production in 1977. Thank you very much, Way Production, at the campus in Indiana where we did the foundational class. We remember that Uncle Harry was sitting in the front row on that occasion. And that was really the last great occasion that Uncle Harry attended. My teaching tonight is simply entitled Uncle Harry Sunday, 1983. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Hebrews 11. You know the greatest commitment ever made? Is the commitment that God made to His Word. Where He says in Psalm 138, He magnified His Word above all His name. The written Word, my people, is the only reliable means of establishing accuracy and maintaining it. This Word of God, the Word, is the road over which our believing hauls God's mighty cargoes of the more abundant life. We in the Way Ministry continue to go to the Word to learn the greatness of God's will for our life, because the Word of God is the will of God. Why should we continue to go to the world, my people, for answers when it's the world that confused us in the first place? The world at best offers only endless ointments and bandages. And the world continues to make more wounds so as to be able to offer more ointments and bandages. You and I must cut the ribbons of the error of the world with the scissors of the Word. To me, it is strange and rather ironical that very few people realize that believing makes the footprints of our confession manifested in action. Action is the fruit of thought. What a man acts out, what he does, is really what he thinks. There are three things, people, you must constantly recognize. Number one, the absolute trustworthiness of God's revealed Word. Number two, Jesus Christ as our complete and the one who finished all the work. In other words, Jesus Christ as the complete and finisher of all work. And number three, the reality of our relationship to Him as sons and daughters. You know, my people, ours has to be a continued confession of God's greatness, God's ability, God's love, and God's great heart. Jesus Christ's confession, all of His confessions were always fantastically wonderful. In John 6:39, He said, I'm the bread of life. In John 8:12, He said, I am the light of the world. In John 10:10, He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 10:11, He said, I am the good shepherd. In John 11:25, He said, I am the resurrection. In John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus' confessions, my people were always fantastic. Sense knowledge men may call us presumptuous. They may say we're egotistical. Some may say that we're even fanatical. But God calls it believing. And God honors believing. And that's what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says. The King James is the word faith. The text is believing. Now believing is the substance. The word substance is title deed. Believing is a title deed to things hope prayed for, is the text. The evidence of things not seen. Literally, the translation is the evidence that they are ours before they are seen. Now look at that verse again in your Bible. Now believing is a title deed, the substance, a title deed to things prayed for. The evidence that they are yours before they are what? Seen. If tonight you had the title deed to a property, would it belong to you, even though you had never seen it? That's what the scripture says. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, God honors believing. Believing is a title deed to things prayed for before you see them. Look at John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the what? Truth. You shall know. Not question, not doubt, people. But it's possible to what? Know. To know that you know that you know. No matter what anybody else says, you know that you know the what? Truth. And the truth shall do what? Make you free. Nothing but truth, people, ever sets anybody free. Look at verse 36. If the Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, therefore shall make you what? Free. You shall be what? Free indeed. So if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you believe in Him, then are you free? Definitely. You have to believe that you are what the Word of God says you are, people. That you have what the Word of God says you have. And that you'll be what the Word of God says you'll be. For the Word of God is the will of God. The Word of God is not a has-been. The Word of God is an is. The Word of God is. It's a present tense reality, people. If the Son shall make you what? You are what? Is that what the Word says? That's what it means. Look at Luke. One book in front of it. Luke chapter 3. Oh, I want to begin reading tonight with verse 3. And he, this is John the Baptist, it's talking about Luke 3:3. Everybody got it? And he, John the Baptist, came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way to the Lord. Make his path straight. And every valley shall be what? And every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 9, And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into what? And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? Verse 11, He answered and saith unto them, He that hath two coats or two shirts, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than what is appointed of you. Verse 14, And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Verse 15, And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or what not. John answering saying, Now watch verse 16 verily, carefully. Unto them I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
When you're born again of God's Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you have that ability to burn up the chaff in your life, people. You have the God-given ability to control your life in every category, honey. Sir, you can just walk with the greatness of power of God because he gives you the power to burn up. It's a figure. To burn up everything and anything in your life that stops you from being God's best. That's what that wonderful verse is talking about. Verse 17 says, Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly or truly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat in his garner, but the chaff he's going to do what with? Burn with unquenchable fire. Any man who is successfully involved in any capacity in anything in life knows that if he's going to travel fast in that capacity, as my kids sometimes call it, moving in the fast lane, if you're going to move in there, you've got to travel light. I wrote the other week the line, To weather the storms of life, you must cast out the ballast. There is no other way that you can weather the storms of life unless you cast out the ballast. So if you want to travel fast, if you want to travel far, honey, you've got to travel what? Like, we just cannot be burdened with all the fears, the worries, the exalt, you know, all the junk that everybody else is concerned about. We just do not worry because we believe God's word. In him we are more than conquerors. He came that we might have life and have it how? People, the word of God is the will of God. And that's why I'm so thankful again this wonderful Sunday night of the greatness of the reality of God's presence among us and how wonderfully blessed we have been in this ministry and how the deliverance of God has so changed our lives. You know, Saul thought that if David's going to fight Goliath, he better have good armor. So Saul loaded it on him, and poor little old David, he just sort of withered under it. You know, David couldn't use Saul's armor. Each one of us are athletes. We're all athletes of the Spirit. And each one of us determines how we run in this life. The book of Acts is the history of the rise and the expansion of the Christian church. And in Acts chapter 2, people, I'd like to begin with verse 41 with you. Acts 2, 41. Then they that gladly received his word. And the word receive, people, is the word dekomai. You can hear the word of God and it goes clean, clear through. But to receive, to dekomai, is to lodge it in here. Then they that gladly dekomai, subjectively received the word, they were baptized. It doesn't say in water, so don't put it in. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 what? Souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. And the word doctrine is right believing. And fellowship. And in breaking of what? And in what? Four things here in verse 42. Steadfast in right believing. Number two, fellowship. Fellowship. Number three, they had food. They broke food together. The significance of this is that the food had salt in it. And there were people who were salted. That means they meant what they said what they meant. And among the African tribes, if you ate with someone the food that was salted, and if you broke your commitment to him, everybody in the tribe would be after you to kill you, because you broke your word. And once you ate salt with somebody else, you were salted. And you had to keep your word. For the word meant what it said and said what it meant. And the fourth thing, of course, is they were in prayer. Now look at verse 43. And, look at all these ands. Boy, it's a polysyndeton is the figure of speech. It emphasizes, calls attention to so many things. And fear, the word fear is reverence, awe, respect, came upon every soul, everybody alive. And many wonders and signs were done. The fifth great truth in verse 43 is reverence and respect for each other. as believers. Number 6, many wonders were done. And number 7, what? Many signs. Now look at verse 44. And all without exception who believed were together and had all things common. The 8th great truth is they stuck together and they stuck up for each other. That's the 8th great truth. Number 9, they had all things in common, which means if I have anything and you have a need for it, I offer it to you to use. For instance, if I have a car and you haven't got one, you got a need for one, I make my car available. That's the record here. They had all things in what? Common. Verse 45. And sold their possessions. Do you see the S on the end of that? You see the S on the end of it? And goods. Goods. You see the S on that? They didn't sell what they needed. They sold their plurality. They sold what they didn't need. They sold that which was holding them back, kids. Don't you see it? They sold their plurality. Not what you need. Because the Word of God says He'd supply all of our what? Need according to His riches in what? So He's promised to supply our need. This was greed stuff. They didn't need it. So they sold their what? Plurality. They sold their possessions, S, and goods, S. That's why in verse 45, the 10th great thing is they sold their pluralities. And number 11, parted them to every man who had what? Need. Had need. They sold those things and then they shared with those who needed. In verse 46, and they continued daily, not just on Sunday morning from 11 to 12, but they continued how? Daily. And the word daily means what? Okay. With one accord. One accord. One accord means unity of mind, one mind in the temple and in breaking of what? Bread from house to house. Did eat their meat or their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart is undivided loyalty. This is verse 46. They were daily in unity and they were witnessing. They were in fellowships in the twig, as it says, from house to what? House. They had twigs. And they did eat their food with undivided loyalty is the third one. Undivided loyalty first to God and then to each other. And finally, you get down to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with what? All the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. They had graciousness among themselves. Having favor. Favor is graciousness with all the people among themselves. And the Lord added daily. Altogether in those verses that I just read to you from 41 through 46, my people, you have 16 major truths. And I've listed all 16 for you tonight. Now look at Acts 19. Our wonderful Walter Cummins tonight. And of course, Walter's wonderful mother, Naomi, was married to my brother, our Uncle Harry. I don't know if you knew that or not. Good. And Walter is just, again, one of the kind and one of the great people. And again, Walter handled this morning. But reiteration won't hurt you tonight, I guarantee you. Acts 19, verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed. The word showed is disclosed. Their deeds, their practices, what they had been doing. Verse 19. Many of them also which practice curious arts. And Walter mentioned it this morning, black arts, white arts. I don't know if some of you know the difference. Whenever they talk about black arts, they're talking about bad spirits, they say. When they talk about white arts, they talk about good spirits. Only those good spirits that'll bless you. The black arts spirits are the ones that hurt you. Walter mentioned both black and white arts spirits this morning. Well, those which practice black arts, white arts, green arts, I don't care, devil spirits, brought their books together and burned them in the presence of all. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Why did they bring them? Because people, everything with which you surround yourself gives off something. These flowers tonight are giving off something. This microphone is giving off something. This teaching table is giving off something. This looks solid, but it isn't solid. It's just molecules loving each other a little closer. That's all. Right. Everything in life gives off something. Like I'm giving off something. You're giving it off something. That's why at times you can hear people say, well, I felt something in that meeting. I felt something. You don't feel spirit. What you feel is the environment of people that are either with you or against you. Everything gives off something. If you've got a nasty, dirty, silly little old book in the house, it's giving off that very nastiness to you. If you've got books on devil possession, black arts, white arts in your house, that's what it's giving off. Everything gives off. Someday the scientist's going to believe what I say and he's going to go to work and he'll find the Word of God's true. Just wait on them to catch up with us a little. But I've been at this ministry for over 40 years and I've watched it happen. I said today out there where we burned the ballast, I could bring one book into your home and within 6 to 7 weeks you'd have devil spirits in that home. Because that's what it's giving off. It's a total invitation. It's a wide open door. The book is inviting everybody in. Come on home, fellas. Attitude. I'm very particular what I surround myself with and who. That's right. Because if I'm going to move fast and far for God, I cannot be encased, burdened down. I can't have my feet cemented in 2 feet of cement, solid, and then move. In order to move for God, I've got to believe to surround myself with the best it's possible. Therefore, I have to get rid of all the junk, the ballast, anything else that would stop me from being my best for Him, honey. And in order to do that, as we say, if you want to travel fast, you got to travel what? Light. So sometimes you just have to say to people, go blow, you dude. You're interested in your life, aren't you? Your life is the most important to you, isn't it? Well, if it's the most important to you, you ought to do that, which will make your life the most wonderful life in the whole world. And that is, you drop everything that stops you from being your best, honey. Even what you may have called your best friends. Your best friends are many times lousy, because all they do is drag you down to the pit with them. You know, they want you to dope it up, sex it up, and get drunk with them, and those other little items. You've been through there. I'm not telling you anything too new, am I? You call them your best friends? My God. Best friends, somebody drag you down? The best friends are those that will lift you up, those that bless your life, that elevate you, and make you feel again like you're a wonderful woman of God. Make you feel again like you're a man of God. Like Brian sang, stand up straight, shoulders back. Breathe. Be a woman. Be a wonderful man of God. The world just got a bunch of hoary women for the most part. They ain't seen Christians for centuries. How could they? There haven't been any. There's talk. Roar. God again, people. And this is the day and time and hour. He's blessed your life. You know enough of the word. You can throw off all the ballast. You can kick all the junk. You can get rid of all the unnecessary things. And you can breathe again and you can stand. Someone just last week wrote me a note that I picked up when I came home and said, thank God for the PFAL class for the first time in my life that I can remember over years and years, I'm able to breathe and I feel like a man's man. God, I don't know what's like then, that definition. What's a man's man? I don't know. Must be man's man. Maybe I'm a man's man. I don't know. But I feel great. But I was thankful. You know, I understood his heart. Before that, he was all screwed up and, you know, down. For once in his life, he found out who he was. He got born again, filled with the power of God, took a breath and says, well, thank God, I am what the Word of God says I am. Also in the letter, he said, I don't know why they never taught to me this to me because I went to church for 30 years. Well, that's the last place you want to go if you want to learn anything. See? Don't kid me any. How can you be in the church for 30 years and not know the greatness of God's Word? The reason he don't teach it. I just traveled with a man recently who was head of the board of one of my own denomination, you know, colleges. He was head of their board for 32 years, I guess. So I said, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And he was back in, Judges, Kings. He never found that scripture in the Bible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how can you be a Christian for 30 years and not know that 2 Peter is not in the Old Testament? And then to be on the top of the podium pole. But everybody salaamed him, you know. Wonderful big guy. He supported Gaylaw Money. He was very influential in the community, but not very influential with God and his word. Now, the Way Ministry's got a lot of things to share, but only for those who got the guts to believe it and who want to walk for God. We're going to know it. 2 Peter isn't in the Old Testament, I guarantee you. A lot of others. I have no criticism for them. They're going to be judged themselves. But stupidity is inexcusable as far as I'm concerned when light's available. And light is available today. That's right. Verse 20 says, so mightily grew what? Word of God, not the New York Times. Playboy. What are you reading lately? So mightily grew the what?
I love you. A word of what? Right. What grew? Right. Not the unrevised Reader's Digest Bible. Not life, look, time, or any of that. The Word of God grew. People, it's the Word of God that is what? The will of God. If you want to know the will of God, you got to know what? You can read the Saturday Evening Post till you're blue in the face. You'll never know God's Word. You want to know God's Word? Read the textbook. I'm reading the book to you tonight, honey. The Word of God did what? Grew. The Word of God grew. The Word of God can't grow until you first plant it. If you tried wheat, corn, oats, onions, garlic, whatever it is, nothing can grow until it's first what? That's why the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves the proof. It's in the studying that you do the planting. That's why in the class on Power for Abundant Living, just everybody gets delivered, because the implanting of the what? The Word. And it's the Word that set men and women free when they believe it. The Word was planted in, then it what? Grew. It grew. And finally, it says that the Word of God did what? Prevail. And when the Word of God begins to prevail, that's when you manifest a life which is more than abundant, and you just live it up and have a barrel of fun. That's prevailing. So if other Christians want to be long-faced like a Holstein cow, I don't care. If they want to be down the mouth. If they want to carry Maggie Muggins, remember? Oh, their privilege. But he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He set us what? Free. He set us free. That's why, people, Uncle Harry Sunday robs life of its weaknesses, its human guidance, and its human influence. And Uncle Harry Sunday lifts us into the realm of the supernatural. See, when you receive eternal life, and to receive eternal life is to receive the nature of your Father, God. When you receive eternal life, after that, you should endeavor to seek and govern your life accordingly, and let His new life, Christ in you, manifest itself in your daily conduct and living. When Jesus Christ is your Lord, you will want Him to have a say in regard to the books and magazines you buy and read, the LPs you buy and play, the company you keep, the kind of amusements you attend and enjoy, as well as the government of your body and of your home life. He will want to, if He's the Lord, something to say about your finances. How you make it, how you use it, and what you do with it. He will want to have something to say regarding your marriage, your courtship marriage, your home, your life, your children. You will also want to be knowledgeable of your vocation and life. As a matter of truth, He wants to enter into every department and segment of your life and mine. And this is what makes the Christian believer's life so blessed. I close with a poem tonight. From our poem file at the Way International, and the poem is entitled Harry. It was penned by a W.O.W. back in 1977. Her name then was Carly, Kathy Farley, but she since has gotten married. Her name today is Kathy Farley Iwanis. This is the poem. At work, I thought a poem today of someone dear to me, a brother in Christ Jesus known well as Uncle Harry. I knew him not for long. He knew me not at all. Yet we share a common bond. We both answered God's call. Be it not for Uncle Harry, I know not my God today. He stood when all others turned their heads and hearts away. I'm proud to have him as my brother. His stand was bold and strong. And while body and soul now cease to be, Harry's example lives on. When doubts arise and fears set in, think of Harry's stand, so firmly rooted to the Word. My, how I love that man. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the ineffable greatness of your Word, the wonderful power of your Holy Spirit, and all your great goodness and love to us. And Father, I want to thank you tonight on this Uncle Harry Sunday night for allowing me to be back here at the Way International with your wonderful people. And I thank you for all of our children, our young people, and our adults who have blessed our grounds and our place here today by their presence. And may our lives have blessed them. And may the great integrity and accuracy of your Word live in our day and in our time. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
When my way was drear, precious Lord, you were near. When my life was almost gone. You had my cry and my call. You held my hand. I did not fall.
God bless, and I love you. Good night. Have a great week, and move the word, okay? We love you.